Hello, I am Sandra Ezekwesili, and you come to me for hard facts. The world keeps turning, and you're trying to keep up.
The fight against coronavirus has the Oxford.
But there's so much noise drowning out the news. Talking heads, broadcast messages, press releases. They're telling you their side, but you just want the facts. And that's why you come to me. I give you the statistics without spin.
Out of 116 million working age Nigerians, 35.5 million are employed full time. That's 30%.
I give you the context.
I give you the history.
I fight fake news with facts.
Kayode.
Let me talk.
No, Kayode, I will let you talk. Kayode. Kayode, I will let you talk if you let me talk. Kayode.
That's why more and more Lagosians are tuning in.
Half a million Lagosians.
720,000.
970,000.
Over 1 million Lagosians. They know that if you give me your afternoon, I will give you hard facts.
Well done, Sandra, and all you do. Going beyond the headlines and focus on the facts.
I am Sandra Ezekwesili, and these are your hard facts.
First hard fact of the day, 102 confirmed COVID cases yesterday. Yes, you heard me. 102. That's a serious rise from Monday. Ondo, Bayelsa and Kaduna are the top three, with Lagos in number four. Remember, Ondo was also the top state on Monday. Yesterday, they had 68 cases. So you have to ask what's going on in Ondo, right? Is there a new wave in Ondo? We're going to have to watch those figures for the next few days. The Ondo figures and see what's happening. And this is, of course, a state where 105 state-employed doctors have resigned in the last year. We covered that story yesterday on The Big Three. Anyway, Ondo is not far from Lagos, so Abego, my people, let's take our precautions. Don't go out unless you can't avoid going out. And when you do go out, you have to wear your mask. You have to maintain your distance from people. Wash and sanitize your hands as frequently as possible. Let's keep ourselves and each other safe. We're streaming live on Facebook, Nigeria Info 99.3. YouTube Nigeria Info FM. I'm telling you that because our second hard fact of the day is Governor Nyesom Wike saying that judiciary workers will not be paid in River State this month because they joined the nationwide strike. If you're watching on Facebook, watch this video.
River State Governor will not pay judiciary workers in this June. If heaven will come down, let it come down now. Let us see God. Nobody can sit at home when we have not committed any offense for you to go on strike. And you expect us to continue to pay. We will not pay. No work, no pay.
Now, in the past, Nwike has said that the River State Judiciary already has financial autonomy, so no need for them to strike. But again, if they have financial autonomy, how is the executive, Nwike, able to block their salaries? Because he just said, no work, no pay. So if they have judicial autonomy, financial autonomy, how is the governor able to say, no work, no pay? So throughout the show, Lagos, at any time you want to, feel free to comment on this situation in River State. What do you think about Nyesom Wike stopping the salaries of workers in the judiciary an independent arm of government? Because that's what the judiciary is. It's an independent branch of government. What do you think about that happening in River State? Let me know as we go through the show. And of course, tune in and stay locked in with the rest of the 1 million Lagosians who listen to this show. They know where to come for hard facts. And they know that we start every day with the big three. Let's talk about Governor Sanwo-Olu's security advice to Lagosians. Then let's talk about Lai Mohammed saying that the Twitter ban is just the beginning of a new regulatory regime. And then let's talk about the latest reactions to the Twitter ban, like Can warning the government not to go after Kumi and Adeboye. Today is Wednesday, so we're going to bring you the glass ceiling. And on today's glass ceiling, we'll talk about the harassment of women wearing abayas. I'll be joined by two Muslim women and one Muslim man who have some insight into what's been going on in some parts of Nigeria where women wearing abayas in public are getting harassed for allegedly being indecently dressed. That's in spite of having their head covered. We'll talk about that at 3 o'clock, at 4 o'clock, sorry. Can't wait to get into that. It's also Wednesday, so that means that Balogun and Broad is back. We'll talk about the problems that ride-hailing drivers face from their car owners. Car owners as well, you talk to us about what issues you face with your drivers. Now, we usually hear complaints from passengers, and even when we hear from the drivers, they're talking about the platform, or they're talking about the passengers, or they're talking about government. But today, I want us to talk about the business relationships that they have with the car owners. So if you're a car owner, talk to us about some of the things that come up as a car owner on the Uber or Taxify, Bolt platform, or all the other e-hailing services available in Lagos. The problems that come with hire purchase, for example, you know, the issues about car maintenance. Let's discuss all of that today, 5 o'clock, when Balogun and Broad comes your way. And then, of course, there's news updates coming your way at the top of every hour. If you want to win on Just a Minute today, you need to listen to every single thing I say. That's how to win. Every single thing I say, that's where the answer is. So pay attention and, you know, win today on the show. Of course, we'll bring you Let's Talk from Voice of America after the news at 6 o'clock. But let's get started with the Big Three Lagos. I'm Sandra Ezekwesili, and these are your hard facts.
This is the Big Three.
On Hard Facts.
On 99.3 Nigeria Info.
Lagos, do you agree with Governor Sanwo-Olu's security advice? Can the Nigerian government legally make NBC regulate social media? And why has the Nigerian government never reported a tweet? Those are your Big Three, Lagos. Let's talk. Yesterday on the Big Hard Fact, we talked about growing insecurity here in Lagos. Governor Sanwo-Olu talked about it as well. And that's our second story. Now, before I play what Governor Sanwo-Olu had to say, while we were talking about the robberies and the insecurity in general in Lagos, we did not know, or let me say I did not know, that that same yesterday at about 12 p.m., a robbery had occurred at Ijora. A young man was robbed, his windows smashed in, and he took a video and put it online for people to see what he had just experienced. If you're watching us live on Facebook at the moment, I'm about to play that video for you. YouTube as well, Nigeria Info FM on YouTube, Nigeria Info 99.3 on Facebook. But if you cannot watch at the moment, let's listen to this young man.
Sorry, my brother. This one guy, he always tell me, say, this, but me, I never said before.
I never experienced something. For my life, I've never experienced this before. This is my
experience
first time.
This now, like this.
It is not fine for land, but I need to attack her like
snatch, fine. That one day, but this one attack her like for red stone.
This is the point we've got in ourselves. Ijora Bridge, exactly 12:30. The video in face, today is Tuesday. Today is 8, I guess. Yes, it is 8. 6 months in 2021. And this is what happened at Ijora Bridge. This is the desperation of Nigerian youth. I got robbed daylight. Came out early in the morning to find out what to eat, and this is what I got. My same country. I'm not safe. We are not safe anymore. What daylight?
What was it?
This was at Ijora on the bridge.
Now, for those of you who cannot watch, we're taking a look at the young man's car. His side window was smashed to smithereens. Well, Governor Sanwo-Olu is also talking about the insecurity. He gave an interview and he was asked about the rising incidents of robberies and attacks in Lagos. And if you're watching on Facebook, I'm about to play what he said for you as well. But if you cannot watch, well, here's what he said.
It's about security. I will not sit here, you know, and gloss over and say that that is not happening. These are very serious times, and these are very, very serious issues that we all need to take frontally, right? I listened to programs in your station and other stations in the last 48-72 hours, you know, and these are things that have been gathering a lot of storm. Right, yes, in Lagos, there have been incidents that we've had, right? And part of the strategy is that all of us need to speak up, see something, say something. It's really around everybody understanding who is in your neighborhood. You know, who are the people, who are the strangers that you are seeing, you know, around you. Simple security tip, you know, you're in the traffic, roll up your glass if you have to, right? I mean, make sure that you are not standing by the street side and holding a phone and talking, you know, without being security conscious. You know, these are just very simple tips, you know, that you don't enter a strange vehicle, right? With the kind of questions that, the kind of response that we've gotten, people have gone on unpainted, you know, vehicles that they cannot even know who they are, and they're just hopping on free ride. You don't do that, you know. But what is government's response to that? We need to look at what are the capability that we have. We have structural issues, infrastructural issues. I'm not going to gag you and say that we don't have it.
We're going to dwell on infrastructure.
I want to talk on infrastructure even for security. And that's one of the reasons why we're building, you know, the cameras that we're building. That's one of the reasons why we're supporting, you know, the police formation that we have. That's one of the reasons why we're still increasing the number of our recruits on our neighborhood watch, so that local intelligence can be granular.
Lagos, I want to hear your thoughts on Governor Sumulu's assessment and advice. He's saying that you should report unknown people in your neighborhood. He's saying that you should keep your car windows up in traffic to avoid being robbed. He's saying that it's people who willingly enter unknown vehicles that get abducted. Governor Sumulu also says that you shouldn't be talking on the phone while you are on the street without being conscious of your environment. Do you agree that these are the key issues when it comes to insecurity? What do you think about his plan to set up surveillance cameras in more public places, public spaces, as a crime deterrent and as assistance to investigations? What about the need for more security personnel? Women, call me on 01465-7190. 01465-7190. Men, call me on 0700-993-993-993. We've got WhatsApp as well. WhatsApp is 080-959-75805. And of course, you can share your thoughts on our live stream on Facebook, Nigeria Info 99.3. And we are also on Instagram, so you can share your thoughts as well on Instagram if you'd like. Instagram is Nigeria Info FM Lagos. Ezekiel Inaja, how are you? Good to have you on the show.
Yeah, what I would say, as to what the governor has said, is just as usual. You know, when you always believe in talking, then doing, that is what keeps happening. Let me tell you, Sandra, there is no government in this country, local government, state government, federal government, that is willing to do the right thing. I must tell you. And why I'm not... Hello?
I'm hearing you, huh?
And why I'm not being bothered by all what they might be saying is just because of the fact I know it's a couple of weeks, months now. We will go our separate ways. It's only time that will tell. Thank you.
All right, Ezekiel, thank you very much for calling. 99.3...
Hello, Sandra. Good evening.
Thanks for calling us.
Yeah, my name is Jose. I'm calling you from Lagos. Talking about insecurity in Lagos, Sandra. I think what the governor said actually is right. That is, we are talking about taking some maybe personal measures. But I think even with what he has said, it's not enough to guarantee us security in Lagos, Sandra. Talking about the guy who just played out, I saw it yesterday. The guy wasn't one down. His glasses were off and it was broken. So I don't know how we have gotten to this place we are now. Secondly, talking about the security cameras, I don't think they are the solutions we need. This camera was installed at Osho before now. We never had anything about it. Until you get rid of the area boys on the street, Sandra. I tell you, this insecurity will continue. You put security cameras at night, these guys will vandalize it. I can assure you that. Security cameras are not the issue. The first thing first
then you can install cameras. When you have cameras, just like the government infrastructure they put on the road to barricade people crossing over without using the footbridge. Still at night, these area boys go there to vandalize this thing. I think the government is shying away. They don't know what to do, Sandra. They know the right thing to do.
All right. Thank you very much for calling. Megan Lekki, hello.
Sandra, one name. The someone loose talk is like somebody winding up your glass is bulletproof for robbers. So they cannot break it. So once your glass is on or up, nobody can come to you. They will come to you with a knife or a gun. And nobody will tell you to wind down your, take down your glass. It's unfortunate. I don't know. He just says it's like those are given. Oh, don't enter strange vehicles. My friend that was picked up 2 weeks ago, there were women in the vehicle that looked normal like her. They were not. They look normal. These people are—they have gone 10 steps ahead of us in what they use in masking their severity or whatever they want to do. They were normal. Ladies like her in the car, and she was confident, and she entered, not knowing it was one chance. But what is he talking about? Cameras? Is that a solution? That's not a solution. They have to find a way of engaging these restless people that must survive and hustle in any way, shape, or form. That's the truth. They have to be engaged. And idle mind is the devil's workshop. A lot of young people are frustrated. There's nothing to do for them. Absolutely nothing. If they're not engaged, they have to be. They will be engaged by the devil. So whatever the governor Sanwo-Olu has said, it's not going to work. He's just talking for talking's sake. Let it be that the governor has given us tips. Those are not tips that will work in another 1 week.
All right, Meg, thank you very much for calling. Our final call is Tolu, and then we'll move on to our second story. Tolu is in E4. He's a first-time caller. Hello, Tolu.
Yes, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. You've got 1 minute, 30 seconds.
All right. I really cannot believe that was the governor's response to the security issue in Lagos State. I want to just give a quick analogy.
Right.
Somebody, a friend of mine was swindled, was defrauded of about 3 million naira plus in Benin Republic. They went to the police station and reported the incident. They asked for the young man's name and they asked for his photograph. I'm reporting something that happened just a couple of days ago. They looked at the photograph on my friend's phone and they asked for his name. They went into their system, they punched out his name, and when they compared it with the photograph, they were able to get all the information of this person. I'm talking about Benin Republic. And they called the guy on the phone. They said his number was switched off. My friend called his number. They didn't ask my friend for the guy's phone number. You understand? Showing that they have a database. You are talking about security. Does Lagos State even have a database? We have so many people just walking up and down the streets. We don't even know who they are. We can't even trace them. And that is the response that the governor of Lagos State can give, that if I don't protect myself, then I am at fault, that I am insecure. I think that his response, I find it difficult to accept that that was the response of the governor of Lagos State. It is very disturbing to me.
Tolu, thank you very much for calling. We'll still talk about that. You can still talk about that. But Lai Mohammed says the NBC will regulate all social media and OTT platforms. That's our second story. Let's talk about that for a bit. The information minister spoke yesterday about the next steps after the Twitter ban. He described a new regulatory regime where the platforms will have to be registered in Nigeria and subject to the NBC. Hear him for yourself.
I operate in this country without any registration. They do not have any offices in Nigeria and do not pay taxes to the Nigerian government for the billions they are earning. That is not the best practice globally. An advert is coming out tomorrow. They will have to register as Nigerian companies. You have to be licensed by NBC, and the guidelines will be very clear on what they can do, what they cannot do. You can't operate in Nigeria without regard to Nigerian laws. Therefore, any OTT or social media platform operating in Nigeria henceforth must do so legally. Register with the Corporate Affairs Commission, be licensed by the National Broadcasting Commission, and then adhere to the conditions stipulated in their licenses. We've heard from quarters that, the ban is not effective. The ban is very effective, I can assure you. Yes, it is true that some people are bypassing their UCVPN. Anybody does that, does what it is. So, I mean, even the most sophisticated countries, they do it so. But you do so at your own risk. Because not only does it expose all your identities, including your bank details, it actually endangers you. And the authorities are doing everything possible to ensure that such people are also thwarted. The money we are using daily. And I've also had insinuations that this suspension amounts to stifling freedom of expression. Not at all. Nigeria remains a country with one of the freest press in the nation and in the world. Twitter is just one of the many platforms through which Nigerians can express themselves. There's Facebook, there's Instagram, there's WhatsApp, and others. They have not been suspended. But if they do not register, and if they do register and their license and their voter laws, they will also be suspended.
Minister, for information there. Now, there's a lot to unpack from Mohammed's statement. A lot of people are debating this idea that these social media platforms who are websites, not broadcasters, should be regulated by the NBC. So you have that debate going on. Now, remember that last year and the year before, we talked a lot about the social media bill. One of the goals of that bill was to give the executive the power to regulate access to social media platforms and to regulate the content of those platforms. So that means that without a social media becoming law, a social media bill becoming law, without that, the executive doesn't have the powers that Lai Mohammed is suggesting that it has. Now, I asked a lawyer about it. I asked the lawyer whether the current NBC Act or the other laws of the Federation give the NBC or the Information Ministry that power. And after the break, when we come back from this commercial break, you're going to hear what Ilemona Onoja had to say. He's the lawyer that I got in touch with. And he took a look at the statement from the Information Minister. And he shared his thoughts. I'll play that for you after the commercial break. You're listening to Hard Facts on 99.3 Nigeria Info. I am Sandra Ezekwesili. We start the day every day with three of the biggest stories. And so far, we've brought you Governor Sanwo-Olu's advice and comments about the robberies and attacks in Lagos. Some of my questions were what you thought about them. So he said that you should report unknown people in your neighborhood. He said, wind up your cars when you're in traffic. He said, don't enter a vehicle you don't know. He also said, don't be talking on the phone in the streets. You have to look around and know where you are before you talk on the phone. And my question is, what do you think of that advice? But after the break, I'll play for you what a lawyer had to say about what Lai Mohammed has said about social media and OTT in Nigeria. This is Nigeria Info 99.3. Don't go away.
Welcome back to your number one talk news and sports station. This is Nigeria Info.
It's 3:28. I'm Sandra Ezekwesili. You're listening to The Big Three on Hard Facts. And Lai Mohammed says that the NBC will regulate all social media and OTT platforms. I told you before the break that people are debating this idea that social media platforms who are websites, not broadcasters, should be regulated by the NBC. I reminded you that last year and the year before last, we had so many conversations about the social media bills, and one of the goals of that bill was to give the executive the power to regulate access to social media platforms and to regulate the content of those platforms. So doesn't that mean that without a social media bill becoming law, the executive doesn't have the powers that Lai Mohammed is suggesting that the executive has? I asked the lawyer about it, and here's what the lawyer had to say.
Listening to Alhaji Lai Mohammed's comments, one is rather shocked, not only at the lack of recognition for what the laws that he copiously claims to be quoting are, but also for the lack of business awareness. It's very shocking, and I'll address them very quickly. There's no way that you can say that any business that does business with Nigerians, doing business with Nigerians, is very different from doing business in Nigeria. And there's no way to say that every business that does business with Nigerians must open an office and must register with the Corporate Affairs Commission. It shows that when they said this, they make this slogan, Nigeria is ready for business, they really don't know what they're talking about. There's nothing in any of our laws, in any of our tax laws, that requires that people who do business with Nigerians must have businesses, must have their businesses registered in Nigeria and must have physical offices here. Not at all. This is a company that operates business on the internet and does business with Nigerians. Now, when he speaks about non-payment of tax, I mean, he makes a very obvious blunder. Why? Because at any point when you're paying for any of their services on the payment gateway, you pay a certain amount of money for that transaction that goes to the financial services provider, who in turn pays tax to the federal government. On the one hand. On the other hand, at every time that you patronize a Nigerian business that is on this social media platform, that business pays tax to the Nigerian government. What Alhaji Lai Mohammed in his commentary has done is show a remarkable lack of awareness, a remarkable lack of knowledge of the entire, of that tax, that's tax, or the company registration guidelines about which he's just supposedly spoken as from a point of authority. And then when he talks about the efficacy of the ban and that people using VPN at their own risk, again, we'll go back, we'll remind Alhaji Lai Mohammed, Section 39 of the Nigerian Constitution, Section 36 of the Nigerian Constitution, we are allowed to speak freely. Section 38 of the Nigerian Constitution, we have a right to freedom of speech. We have a right to freedom of owning mediums. We have a right to not being prosecuted for a crime that has not been defined in a law. All round, what this thing shows us is a remarkable, particularly coming from someone who's trained as a lawyer, who is occupies a position as a minister of the Federal Republic of Nigeria. What this shows is a remarkable lack of knowledge of our laws. And truth be told, the only reason why this thing is standing or has stood so far is because they have failed to resolve the Jusun crisis so that our courts can open, and then we can make sure that there's a declaration that shows this truly obnoxious policy for what it is, a truly obnoxious policy that is not backed by any manner of law or fact. That's really what the position is.
Now, next Wednesday on Balogun and Broad, we're going to talk about the business implications of these proposed new regulations, right? We're going to look at it from the company registration angle. We're also going to look at it from the taxation angle, because there's an ongoing global conversation, really, about how to tax tech companies whose revenue cuts across different countries. And then we'll look at the cost-benefit analysis from the perspective of the platforms and the OTTs themselves. So next week, 5 to 6... we'll have this conversation. But back to Lai Mohammed and my lawyer. Lai Mohammed also talked about stopping Nigerians from using VPNs to access Twitter. And Ilemon Onoja, the lawyer you just listened to, found that very interesting. Because, you also think about the fact that on Facebook, the person managing Abubakar Malami's social media is using a VPN. Malami is the Attorney General of the Federation. He's also the Justice Minister. And he has also vowed to prosecute anybody who is using Twitter. Yesterday, his official Facebook account posted that he had deactivated his Twitter handle. To prove it, they showed us a screen recording of the deactivation. And in that screenshot, you can see that the phone has a VPN switched on. And you can also see an icon for a cryptocurrency exchange app active on the phone. So basically, whoever handles the Justice Minister's social media is using VPN, which the Information Minister said that we shouldn't. And the person is also trading in crypto, which the CBN has stopped Nigerians from doing through the financial systems. Now, we don't know whether Malami handles his social media himself or if this is a member of his staff. But either way, a lot of Nigerians are asking whether there is one set of rules for the public and another set for those in power. Now, let's talk about the reasons for this ban to begin with. Remember, the Information Ministry said that it was because Twitter was allowing divisive statements and incitement of violence to go unchecked. Lai Mohammed accused them of double standards since they deleted a tweet from the president, but they've allegedly not deleted tweets from IPOB members advocating crimes. Now, if you go online, lots of websites have records of every complaint that national governments have filed with Twitter about offensive or criminal tweets. If you go to the Internet Archive, the Wayback Machine, you can find the records there. That's because Twitter has given governments that avenue. Twitter says, we cannot monitor all the billions of tweets on our platforms. So if you see something, say something, report it to us. And they've given every government in the world the tools to do so. Do you know how many times the Nigerian government has reported a tweet to Twitter? According to the online sources, the online records, zero. The government has never reported a tweet. And so you have the analysts asking, why is the government banning Twitter for not taking actions on tweets that the government doesn't like if the government has never reported a single tweet? Let's talk Lagos, shall we? What do you think about this new regulation or these new regulations that Lai Mohammed is suggesting? What do you think about the legal arguments against them? You heard from a lawyer. Do you think that this is social media bill without a bill? And what's your take on Malami's social media device using VPN and trading crypto? What do you think about the fact that there's no record of the federal government ever making a request for Twitter to delete a tweet? Women, call me on 01-465-7190. Men, call me on 0700-993-993-993. 0700-993-993-993. Women, call me on 01-465-7190. We still have a doozy coming up in the third story of the day. And we've got WhatsApp as well, so get in touch via WhatsApp. WhatsApp is 080-959-75805. Hello, thank you very much for calling us. Hello.
Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. What's your name?
Glory from Ikoyi.
Hello, Glory.
How is work?
Fine, thank you.
All right. You've already said everything, President Sandra. There's no point of us commenting or calling commenting. All right. Everything concerning Nigerian tweets and the... Is he a... What's the man's name again? Malami's tweet. We cannot say that he's not aware of someone using his phone on a VPN. And he's also on crypto. Meanwhile, they have banned crypto. You know, it's somehow, would I say, overwhelming that all of these things is happening here in Nigeria. Against the government or those in power should listen to all of this so that they will do the needful. Not coming to tell us that we have been banned from using Twitter. Meanwhile, from statistics that he's giving, Twitter is saying that they have never tweeted anything to them. You know? So, I don't think there is any point of us calling to comment. Nigeria should do the needful. In fact, our government has really, really failed us.
Thank you very much, Glory, for calling. We've got Ike, you know, Olabisi University calling us. Hello, Ike.
Yeah, good evening.
Good evening.
My name is Ike Moore.
Oh, Ike, welcome.
Moore, yes, from Olabisi University.
Good to have you on the show.
My sister, we have entered one chance.
Okay.
We have entered big time one chance.
Okay.
All the things they are saying, what they say, they don't mean, what they mean, they don't say. They want to, you know, emasculate our freedom to... I don't use Twitter. That's just for that. But they are coming. How much have they not find you? They find all the TV. That's why people are getting unnecessarily overconscious. Everything somebody wants to say, you will start fidgeting. So from the fine, they will tamper with the licenses, and they want to go and now control those who are operating in this space where nobody owns the space. We are going back to the Abacha era. Or we are going back to the era when the man in charge now was a soldier. The promise that he's a repentant Democrat or whatever does not hold. We are going in. And if we don't do nothing, if we don't do anything, it will get, before long, when you wake up in the morning, you take permission from Lai Mohammed or Malami, and life goes on. We are in trouble. We're in trouble.
Okay, thank you very much for calling. For our third story, let's keep talking about the Twitter ban, shall we? But let's look at the most recent reactions to it. Yesterday, I told you how PDP lawmakers walked out of the House of Representatives because the Speaker, Femi Gbajabiamila, did not allow a vote on demanding an immediate reversal of the ban. If you're watching on Facebook, you're about to see them walk out. But if you can't watch on Facebook, listen to them immediately after the walkout, vowing to keep tweeting.
Of the PDP caucus in the House of Reps, if you want to jail us if we have committed an offence. We surrender ourselves on behalf of Nigerians. This is why we are here. They are not angels. Our leaders are not angels. If they omitted this prayer and we are asking that this prayer should be added, it's not against our rules. There was no debate and no vote was taken on those issues. So it's not sacrosanct as
by yesterday evening, the caucus had instructed all its members to open Twitter accounts if they don't have them and to use Twitter to speak to their constituents. Governor Samuel Otom of Benue has also criticized the ban. According to The Punch, the governor said, quote, the ban on Twitter is not only illegal, but it is also an ill-advised move to divert the attention of Nigerians from the federal government's failure to tackle insecurity in parts of the country. It amounts to suppression of fundamental human rights and gagging of social media, end quote. Yesterday, I told you about the BBC asking Lai Mohammed whether government would prosecute pastors like Enoch Adeboye and W.F. Kumuyi for tweeting. You remember we talked about it? Now, The Punch is reporting that they asked Umar Gwandu, AGF Malami's spokesperson. They asked him whether prominent people who have tweeted since the ban, like Adeboye specifically and Nasser El-Rufai, will be arrested and prosecuted. And Gwandu said, quote, the process of arresting and prosecuting offenders takes a while. It is not automatic. We are definitely on it to ensure the prosecution of all violators. The hands of all stakeholders are on deck to ensure that all those violating the Twitter ban are prosecuted, end quote. So you have the AGF spokesperson talking about the arrest and prosecution of Enoch Adeboye and Kumuyi. I want to know what you think about that. Let me tell you what CAN thinks about it. That's the Christian Association of Nigeria. We heard from Adebayo Oladeji, the special assistant on media to the CAN president. And he said, quote, we caution the federal government against carrying out threats against those highly respected leaders, or carrying out its threats against those highly respected leaders. He also said, quote, if they carry out the threat, it will only compound problems in the country. And then he added, quote, any government policy that suspends the fundamental rights of the citizens is not acceptable to us. The government should rise up to the menace of insecurity facing the country without harassing the innocent and elder statesmen, end quote. So government is saying that it can and will arrest the tweeting pastors, and CAN is saying that they had better not try it and that it violates the fundamental rights of citizens. And the U.S. Embassy agrees with Khan that the Twitter ban violates the rights of Nigerians. The U.S. government has made an even stronger statement against the Twitter ban. It's coming from Samantha Power, the global head of USAID. Power said, quote, there are nearly 40 million Twitter users in Nigeria, and the country is home to Africa's largest tech hub. This suspension is nothing more than state-sanctioned denial of free speech and should be reversed immediately, end quote. By the way, we need to fact check on that 40 million number, because I've seen different figures for the number of unique Twitter users in Nigeria, and I've never seen anything as high as 40 million. So it will be interesting to know where Power got that number. But that's what she said. Meanwhile, Serap is taking the Buhari administration to the ECOWAS court. Remember that we've had a lot of lawyers saying that telcos, ISPs and broadcasters need to challenge the ban in court. But they can't do that right now because courts are closed due to the Jusun strike. So Serap is doing the next best thing by going to the ECOWAS court. Now, you should know that the ECOWAS court has jurisdiction in cases where member states or a member state is being accused of violating human rights. They have jurisdiction. Specifically, all ECOWAS member states, including Nigeria, signed the African Human Rights Charter, and you can sue your government at the ECOWAS court if you believe it violates that charter. And that's what Serap is doing. They say the ban violates the right to freedom of expression under the charter, as well as the right to not be punished without an existing law and an order from a court. All right, Lagos, what do you think about these reactions? So much going on, so much going on. Do you think Serap should go to the ECOWAS court? What do you think about AGF's office doubling down on prosecuting pastors who tweet? What about Khan's warning to the AGF? Do you think that the PDP caucus in the House of Reps did the right thing by walking out and by starting to tweet? Women, call me on 01465-7190. Men, call me on 0700-993-993-993. Three stories, all packed, so many angles to bite on the stories from, you know? Which one do you want to talk about the most? 99.3, hello.
Hello, good afternoon, ma.
Thank you for calling. What's your name?
From Otafam.
Good to have you on the show. Go ahead.
I like how the PDP caucus take a walk. This is the first time that they are doing my bid. What I like, they're supposed to be sacrificing their self for us. Secondly, I want Nigeria activists and the lawyers that they need criminal law to carry the Nigerian government to go ECOWAS lawyer, ECOWAS course. Are you hearing me?
Mm-hmm.
Sister Sandra, if you come to our industrial estate, 20 companies have shut down within 6 years. And some of Nigerian youth are using Twitter to eat, and you are blocking them because of one person that is innocent, that you are comparing yourself to, and punishing us. I'm doing business in Twitter, selling nylon, and you are blocking me because of one person. Are you hearing me?
Mm-hmm.
So I want them to carry the whole government, go to ECOWAS court, because I don't know the time where this one go open, which I'm supporting them. Whether they go open the next 6 years coming. So let us start now. Let us start now and stop this bonkum charade of this government and this insensitivity act from the Minister of Information and the Minister of Justice. Are you hearing me?
Thank you very much for calling. Everybody gets 1 minute, 30 seconds. We've got Mary in Igede. She's a first-time caller. Mary, welcome. Hello, Mary. Good afternoon. Welcome. Go ahead.
Thank you. I'm a first-time caller.
Great to have you here.
Yes. Please, I don't know. You know, it's so sad, the situation of Nigeria. Very, very sad.
Right.
Government is not providing employment for our youth. And some of them, Twitter is a sort of livelihood. Why ban it? You want to throw them into unemployment? You want them to go back into robbery? It's so sad. I don't know why our government don't think, and I don't know. It's just so sad. Please, government should do something. We need a new Nigeria. We need a better Nigeria. The future of our children should be secured. With what our government is doing, we are afraid for our children. We are afraid that their future will be jeopardized. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mary, for calling. 99.3. Hello?
Yeah, it's fine.
Sorry about that. Call back if you can. Hello?
Hello.
Thank you for calling. What's your name?
Yeah, this is Olufemi.
Olufemi, you need to speak up, please. Thank you for calling us. Go ahead.
Okay. Good evening, Sandra.
Good evening. Welcome. Go ahead.
All right. Sandra, oh. I want to tell you one thing. You know, all the president that have been ruling this state, we are always saying this one is good, this one is bad. But this president that is ruling us now, almost everybody is standing that the president is very bad. And then what he's planning to do, and the way we are looking about it, and then when it happens, there is no way for them to run off. Because we'll block the airport, we'll block the border. There is no way they can go. All of us will remain in this country and dig it. Because I cannot just see when a president will just decide on his own without not controlling anybody. So that is what I just have to say.
Thank you very much for calling to say it. 99.3. Hello? Sorry about that. Do call back if you can. We've got Alex on the line. Hello, Alex. How are you?
Yeah, hi, Sandra. You see, I want to comment on this thing that we're talking about. It's
yes,
nice
please.
that the PDP reps walked out. But let me just say this, and I don't want to be rude.
Right.
I don't give a hoot. You know why?
Why?
You and I know that the only place where PDP is different from APC is in CAC fire. Otherwise, these people are the same people.
Okay.
Before this time next week, one of those people will defect to the reigning party.
Okay.
Do you understand? But what makes me happy is that they now know, they are now feeling the heat. They now know that they can no longer misbehave in Abuja and march to their home, their villages and their homes where they come from.
Mm-hmm.
Because, just like the last person said, we'll block the airport to do this, to do that. Well, the truth is that they will no longer feel as comfortable as they used to feel in their big cars when they go back to their constituencies.
Right.
That's what delights me in all of this.
Right.
And as for Malami, let me tell you the truth. A lot of our leaders, the only way they use power is the way our colonial masters use power. They do not understand that. Look at all of what Lai Mohammed reeled out. If you're so confident about what you're doing, why don't you subject it to a democratic process? Subject it to the real democratic process, then let's stop debating. It's our country, isn't it? It's our country.
Right.
It's not like Mohammed's country.
Right.
And it's not the country of his big brother either. It's our own country.
Alex, thank you very much for calling. Emmanuel is in Lekki. Hello, Emmanuel.
Yes, Sandra, good evening.
Good evening, welcome.
Yes, ma'am. There is an update now. Currently, armed robbers are robbing at Eko Bridge right now.
Oh, no.
If the authorities to come to the rescue, because there's a lot of hold up and they started robbing there right now.
Thank you very much, right. Emmanuel, for bringing this to our attention, and please try and stay safe.
Yeah, I'm an Uber driver, so I'm trying.
Okay, thank you, Emmanuel, and please stay safe. If you are on a Eko Bridge at the moment, or you're heading to a Eko Bridge at the moment, we just got an eyewitness report of a robbery currently happening on a Eko Bridge right now. Sanwo-Olu and the Commissioner for Information, Commissioner for Police, I know you're listening to this show. We have a situation on a Eko Bridge at this moment. Please try and sort that problem out as soon as possible. If you're listening to the show on a Eko Bridge or you're heading there, try and find some alternative route. Because you just heard that report from Emmanuel. Emmanuel, thank you so much for bringing it to our attention. We've got Yinka from Maryland who says, God bless you, Sandra. One thing I cherish so much from your program is that you take little time to put stories and issues in its perspective to the extent that our response will just be an addition. Can you imagine a whole attorney general engaging in cryptocurrency that has been banned by the CBN? Tell me, who is fooling who? Well, we don't know that it's the attorney general doing it. It could be his social media handler, you know? Dio says, can the federal government under Buhari attempt to make a statement about arresting their imams, like the ones who are dining and liaising with Boko Haram? Dio, thank you for your message. Kenno says that they've never reported any tweet, right? That's what you get when you have old men in leadership. Leaders in this country have ruled for too long without any working institutions to regulate them. They always want to be above the law. The president, presidency, leaders in power agreed to the policy of Twitter before signing up. Buhari's tweet was against the policy, so it should be deleted. He's not above their policy. They're offended because they hate being regulated. Now, they want to oppress social media platforms the way they oppress radio and television stations. Lai Mohammed's statement is not a regulation, it's not a law, it's oppression. He's not the National Assembly nor the president. Okay. Keno, thank you very much for your message. We'll take a final message. Do we have time to take a final message before this break? I don't think we do. But hey, after the break, we'll take a few more messages and then take calls and switch to the glass ceiling.
You are listening to your number one station for talk.
99.3 Nigeria Info.
99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.